meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Trista Wren is our guest tonight. Trista is the Bachelorette. Trista, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I never say that either, do I, Drew?
Do you?
I've never heard those words come out of your mouth. I don't know.
No.
I'm glad it's for me.
I was at the dentist today.
Yeah. Don't worry, Krista. It's got to always come back to him.
Oh, yeah.
No, here we go. We'll get into it. No,
that's all good. I want to hear about your dentist story.
This was big. This is big. Big screw in the jaw.
Oh, you got the implant.
Got the implant, which I always pictured as sort of a toothpick-like post that they were going to build a tooth onto. It's 10 millimeters by 6 millimeters, and for those of you who don't know the conversion, 6 millimeters, almost quarter of an inch thick.
Yeah.
That's like
in your bone.
Number two pencil thickness in the bone. I frankly didn't know I had that much room in the jaw.
Were you under?
No.
Nitrous?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a bad trip again.
I got to dedicate tomorrow's show to this.
Okay.
We got to talk to Trista tonight. But it was bad times. Because let me tell you,
did you cry?
Oh no. But what I always do is I sweat profusely because you're numbed up,
right?
But in a certain sense, you're still sort of an animal, and you're awake. I'm lucid. I know exactly what's going on, and the guy's putting a quarter inch drill bit into my jawbone. And you spend 1 hour in a sort of position where your body thinks it's being just brutally raped for an hour. Your body has really no idea.
You're being drilled.
Your brain is going, well, I can't feel this, but...
It really sounds bad.
Quarter-inch bit going into the jaw. This can't be good. And I peel myself off the vinyl. Yeah, sweat. I'm sitting in a puddle of my own sweat.
You know what they should do is give you headphones and play music or something while you can't hear the drill.
But let me explain.
Really?
Well, no, I did. Yeah, but let me explain something. Here's the thing. You know, when they have these deaf high schools and colleges and stuff, and then they have the football team. Yeah. And the way they know what the snap count is, because obviously they can't hear the quarterback,
right,
is they got a guy with a big bass drum. And he sits on the sideline.
No,
yeah. And he goes, ba-boom. And everyone goes because they can feel.
Wow.
They can
vibration.
Feel it. So even deaf people can hear. They think, well, the drill bit into the jaw when you have Manhattan Transfer playing in the Walkman. Drill bit in the jaw trumps Walkman. It's like, nope, still feel the piece of metal that's actually going into the bone.
And as I recall, last time you had Manhattan Transfer playing, it was a Christmas music.
It was a Christmas music, and I was just covered in my own sweat, sucking a solution of my own my spit, a little vomit, some tears, and blood out of my mouth. I'm here, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Yeah. All right. I got. But tomorrow, do we have a guest tomorrow? Because I got to dedicate the entire show to this.
Your love for dentistry.
The Bachelorette. I think I have. I think I've watched almost every episode.
Cool.
It works. It sort of worked both ways. I mean, The Bachelor worked, and The Bachelorette sort of worked too. But let's just go back. So we can get everyone sped up because Drew, maybe you don't follow these things like I do.
She's busy.
Trista was.
I've seen a couple episodes though.
Trista made was down to Trista and one other girl on the first Bachelor.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt pretty confident. Did you feel confident at that point?
Well, he told me I was basically going to be picked 2 days before he did.
He did.
Yeah. He said it's you. I said if you had to pick right now, who would you pick? And he said I would pick you.
Bad question.
Then 48 hours later.
He
changed his mind.
I think most, and I know you can't agree with this because modesty prevents you from doing it, but I think most the fellas watching were a bigger fan of yours than they were of What's-Her-Nose, who we ended up picking.
What's-Her-Nose.
But are they still together?
No.
They just broke up.
Shocking.
Yeah. Shocking.
Right. So now you don't make the cut. I mean, you barely miss the cut, but you get a lot of exposure. You have a decent experience.
Yeah.
Were you in love? What's his name?
No, I wasn't in love. Alex.
Alex. Alex is sort of a, seemed like a nice looking guy that people thought was gay, but couldn't quite figure out his sexual proclivity. A little bit of a mom's boy, like a little too perfect. Seemed to be, seemed to have it all going for him, but seemed to be missing a personality or missing a soul or something.
I got along so well with him during the show, and now, looking back...
You got gay friends?
No, I don't. But now, looking, nothing against them, I just don't have any.
Right.
But now, looking back, if I would have ended up with him, we wouldn't have made it past a month. I know that for sure.
Was he, I mean, was my assessment of him that he was sort of had everything going for him, but
he
didn't
did.
Seem to have much of a, like a dish that looked real good, but had no seasoning
in
it?
He did have a really good personality, which you guys didn't see a lot on the show, because for every hour there's 6 hours of footage, so you don't see a lot of what goes on the dates. So he did have a really good personality, but we just weren't a match, and I just got caught up in it, I think.
All right, so that... But that worked out then, ultimately, for you.
Oh yeah.
All right. So now you finished that. You're heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Then America is heartbroken for you. We want to pick up the pieces. You got all these screwballs living in their parents' basements in Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Sending me letters. Drinking. I still get them.
Most of them were out here behind.
Yeah,
the studio.
Exactly.
Right. Now they're all sitting on my car. Yeah, but they're all. And I love that about guys too. Like the guy who you miss out on is some strapping, good looking. You know, playboy with a pilot's license and broad shoulders and narrow at the hip. And other, and this guy's drinking cider out of a jug in his folks' farm. He's like, yeah, I'll marry you, Trisha. Don't worry. Yeah, it amazes me what guys are capable of. And it's as if you're just looking for any guy to get married
right,
to
exactly.
immediately. It doesn't matter.
Because we were all desperate to go on the show.
And
that's what we were pinned as, which...
Right.
I wasn't. I just did it for fun.
So now some time goes by and ABC gets hold of you with this idea, or is it almost immediately?
It was pretty much immediately after the airing, but it was the exec producer's ideas. And then they went to the powers that be at ABC and Telepictures and tried to get them on board.
And what was your first response to the idea?
Oh, I loved it. I said, sign me up immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had so much fun on the first one, and I knew that I'd get to do all the great things that I got to do on the first show. But they were now handpicking basically 25 guys for me, going searching the country, and they would be blood tested and psychologically analyzed and all of these things. I mean, drug tested and everything. So where else could you find a greater dating pool than that?
Yeah, well, they're
and safer.
I'll tell you, it is I'm amazed at how many guys look good in their underpants in this. I mean, just from watching these,
they found
these
great
shows.
Looking guys.
I know every guy looked great.
Yeah,
like I mean, really, like could have been a model kind of guys, although they were always seemed to be up to something else other than modeling. But I mean, which is I guess a good thing. But bunch of good looking guys, mm-hmm. and then they had the one chubby guy with the sense of humor, which of course, you know,
he's so great. I love Bob.
But Bob got cut on like the middle, somewhere around. He made to the eight.
Yeah, to eight. When I had eight around.
Now what about that? Is a female like a guy?
What?
Well, I mean, women usually have a little more leeway this way. If the guy's got a couple extra pounds on him, he's got a good sense of humor.
Great sense of humor. It really wasn't about that, and.
Well, why'd you cut poor
But,
Bob?
You know, it's funny because people will bring that up. Why did you cut the fat guy is what they used to call him, which he's not a fat guy. He's just...
No. Compared to the other guys.
Yeah, compared to the other guys, he's still a little... He has a little extra poundage. So, they ask, why did I get rid of him? Why don't they ask, why did I get rid of Jamie, who's the great-looking basketball player?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're they're pinning it on me that I'm just getting rid of the fat guy when I got rid of the Dreamboat also.
Right. Well, why did you get rid of the Dreamboat?
He suffers from panic attacks, but that's not why.
Uh-oh.
No.
Drew has those ones.
I know. Well, no, he suffers from them, but that's not... Everyone thought that's what it was all about. He actually has very high insecurities in himself, severe insecurities.
Yeah. Women hate
he
that.
Was. We went
Which
on a spa date. The tall, blonde, great teeth, like bright smile guy. He's a basketball player. We went on spa date. He got all nervous about taking his shirt off in front of all these other guys. And I don't know if you saw, but he's got a perfect body.
Yeah, beat off to it twice.
But here's the guy. Other guys ought to be taking note here. Here's Trista's, you know, this is how women measure this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like what you do, your sense of yourself and your confidence and your sense of prowess and ability to be, you know, a safe harbor and a protector and the stuff.
Completely. That's what I look for.
Well, also, women get caught up in this sort of atmosphere of guys. If a guy's feeling confident and marching a certain direction, they'll follow along.
Yeah,
and if he's slumped over and crying himself to sleep, then...
I don't want anything to do with it.
That's right. That's the way guys are.
At
the beginning.
Exact opposite of men, though, right? Men, on the other hand, want the weakened, broken problem. That's when they pounce.
Totally.
Yeah, well we don't
that's
care.
Strange.
It's really about
but
looks,
that's when
you know?
I know, but that's when they look for their opportunities.
So sad.
Yeah.
All right, so now who's left now? Because I missed
Ryan
last
and
week. Which one is the poetry guy?
Ryan.
The guitar player.
Yeah.
No, that's Greg. He's gone.
True. The poetry guy, please.
He plays. He paints and writes poetry, but he also is a firefighter and played football.
He's gay.
Now, Drew, please. All that, but you guys love that yin and yang stuff. You love the scrappy, brawny guy, the guy who can handle himself. And
I like manly men, masculine men.
And then he writes some bad poetry on
the
side.
It's not bad poetry.
Yeah, everyone in my office makes fun of this guy, by the way. Everyone at Jimmy Kimmel Live, so we're laughing our asses off about the poetry.
Well, I've always looked for a romantic. He's a romantic.
He's romantic.
Sure.
Whatever that means.
Charlie is, too.
So we're going to find out on Wednesday who you picked. You obviously know already. And now, by the way, if you just blurted it out right now, it would cost you $5 million?
Mm-hmm.
$5 million?
Yeah. Were you just throwing that out?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, $5 million.
You know ABC.
Yeah. $1 million didn't sound like enough, and $10 million didn't sound like you could pay.
Yeah.
I couldn't pay $5 million. I couldn't pay $1 million.
Make $100 kajillion.
Right.
So it's $5 million they would sue you for if you shouted this out. Now, was the idea that you have... It's the whole marriage thing? I mean, that
it's
wasn't
possible.
Pushed.
No.
But the marriage on The Bachelor that you were on, it was stressed quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
This doesn't seem to be stressed as much on The Bachelorette.
I don't know. I think maybe just because it was the first show, it was stressed more. Maybe it seems like it was stressed more because that show had never been on the air before.
Yeah, the concept has evolved a little bit.
Right.
Or devolved. I mean, it's what it is it's not as ambitious. It's not like at the end of this.
They get married.
No, but they still say that.
They do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go around
again.
Would
you get married?
Well, there's a possible engagement. There's no marriage at the end.
Did you get engaged?
I can't say that.
I want to go around. No rings here. I want to go around again about things. There's another guy that was anxious that I saw you getting ready to dump. The guy that was opposite the guitar playing guy.
Russ. The third guy?
Right?
Is that what he means?
I don't know.
But it's interesting how these guys, when they're nervous, and you just like...
I don't
it just
like...
It
doesn't read... I mean, I look for
I
a guy
that.
Who's very confident, because I've been in a relationship with a guy who's very insecure, and it was just very draining.
Jealous?
Now,
and he was very jealous and controlling.
Wouldn't you say a guy who farts in front of you is a confident man?
Yes, definitely.
You see, that's what
Adam,
I'm saying.
Do you want to light it tonight? You're wearing the right pants. You could do it.
I'm sure
she'd be impressed. You should see the plume of flame that he's able to produce.
Unacceptable.
You've been met up.
Trista's blonde. Drew's having a hard time tonight. She is your speed. Yes, Drew? She looks like your wife a little bit.
A little bit?
You say? She that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Drew likes it. Drew likes it.
Whoa.
Drew likes what you got. That's all I'm saying. Drew has a type. Right, Drew? Physical type?
Yep. We all do, don't we?
Yeah. I'm a little more flexible than Drew.
You'll range your...
Drew likes a blonde.
Adam, it's Adrian Barbeau.
Yeah. I like... But I'll take a blonde, too. But you are Drew's type. That's, you know, it's a compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah. His wife's going to kill you. Cassie?
Yeah?
I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we always talk about how a woman doesn't like a man who stutters or hiccups or doesn't seem self-assured.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that sort of connected to the fact that when a guy is insecure and he's stuttering and stammering, it means he likes them a little too much? And when the guy seems sort of confident and self-assured, it poses a challenge to the women. Quiet down over there, Drew.
I'll let her
you know,
answer it.
I mean, when a guy's like running around trying to please you, it's different for you than when a guy says, eh, "I'm doing my thing."
It is in the beginning. In the beginning, I'm just not attracted to that at all. And it might have to do with the challenge aspect, but I think it also has to do with my past relationships where I know that it wasn't working for me. It was completely draining.
If we went out on a first date and I said, what do you want to do?
I don't know, that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Just tell me what you want to do. Now, you'd like it much better if I said, listen, I got a great, I'll pick you up.
I got
at
everything
eight.
Planned.
You
don't have to think about it.
That's
yes,
right.
Completely. I love
that's
that.
That's right. And then I start working in a picnic basket somewhere. Chicks love that. Picnic.
Anything. Even if they plan just to stay home, whatever.
My plan. Take control. That's right.
I think you're putting the cart ahead of the horse. I think it's the fact that a guy could be sort of brought to his knees by his desire for someone is a sign of weakness. Therefore,
I like a strong guy.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
No, that's what
the
I'm
guy,
saying.
Guy, anybody would. It's not just anybody would be a member of the club. I don't.
No. I didn't say that. I said he's nervous because he's trying to please, or it seems as if he's nervous because he's trying to please. But a guy who doesn't seem to care is like, we're going to do what I want to do, and you're coming with me is attractive.
But what's not attractive is not that he likes her a lot. It's that he's taken down by it.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's both because it makes me think that they're not as strong in character as I need in a guy.
See?
I like somebody who likes to take care of me and lead me, like you were saying. A girl will follow if a guy takes the lead.
I don't know. There's a chicken and an egg thing here. But
yeah. There is.
Either way, it's if he likes you too much at the beginning, it's a total
turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, can a guy be real super confident and like you a ton?
Or like you too much? And like you too much?
If there's too much confidence, though, that's also a turnoff. If they're totally egotistical, then bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
See you later.
Yeah. I just like myself a medium amount.
I mean, just for your... That's just what you do to yourself twice a day.
I give myself a six and a half.
Cassie's 18. Cassie.
Hi.
Hey.
I have a question on HPV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have it.
Okay.
And I was wondering, because they gave me the cream for the symptoms to go away.
What symptoms are you having?
The warts.
You mean you have a lot of warts?
No, not a lot. Just a little bit, like four of them.
You have a couple of them and you want them to go away.
What's the cream do?
Aldera cream, right?
I don't know.
You put it on the warts?
Yeah, it dissolves them, basically.
You put it on for three days.
It's called a cytolytic drug. It prevents it from growing.
Okay.
And so it dies off.
But it'll get the ones that are on there. How come you always hear about them being frozen off or burned off?
It takes them off
where
the Aldera takes a while. I mean, Aldera's one option now. It's only been available for a couple of years. So.
Oh, okay.
And so what's the question?
After the symptoms go away, is it still like, and if you have sex with someone and you have a condom on, can you still?
Well, obviously the condom will reduce the risk, but you can still produce virus and still be contagious. And I've been saying this a lot lately, that the virus tends to stay around for about 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the viruses stay around permanently, and those are the ones that seems to really increase the risk for cervical cancer.
Cancer, yeah.
So in the meantime, for the next several years, whether you have warts or not, you got to make sure you use a condom. The good news for you is that even if you give it to a guy, it doesn't harm him, but he then becomes infectious for other people.
All right, well, good times, though, right,
Cassie? Because, like, where I got them, it was, like, I used the condom, but I guess they're around his, like, pubic hair area.
Bad times.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if I could give it to the guy through his pubic hair area, even if I don't have the symptoms.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
But it's unlikely.
Okay.
I mean, I shouldn't say unlikely. You've reduced the risk substantially by wearing condoms.
You've eliminated any litigation brought on by his people, really, if you say. He wore condom. That's really what you're talking about. All right, Cassie.
Because that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Really.
And maybe they'll burn themselves out.
Most of them do.
But it will, the virus.
Hold on.
In most cases.
Most
do.
That's new.
That's new. I got it here.
Right. So people used to think warts were sort of a life sentence, right?
Yeah, that's new.
Now they're starting to think they're burning themselves out.
Yeah, I've been saying that for about 6 months.
Glad you heard me. No, listen, Wise, as you were saying that some strains,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not most.
Right.
It was just sort of some strains.
I'll say most. Yeah.
All right. Helen?
Hello.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I wanted to talk to you. I'm a very reasonable person, so I'm not going to yell or do anything really trashy, but I wanted to talk to you guys concerning what you've been saying as of late and the fact that you seem to disregard the sensitivity that people have towards, like, the comments you make.
Well, mostly, but go ahead.
Like,
you're a heroin addict.
True, please. Go ahead.
I live on the East Coast, and so I listened to your show last night, and your rantings are very charming, but the one about foreigners seemed to get on my nerves, and it seemed to pique interest in my household when you talk about, oh, blacks do this, and the Hispanics do that, and categorizing people, especially in this day and age, I don't think it can get you anywhere, and it's not...
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, you walk a fine line. No one wants to be called a racist, for instance.
Right.
But when I was talking about gas stations and their attendants in the L.A. area, they're 100% foreign. So it's hard to avoid that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's certain jobs that, for instance, you know, you want to be even-handed about everything. And I don't know how much the foreign part weighs into it, to tell you the truth, although I'm sure it's a factor. Not that they're evil people, but that culturally maybe they don't say hi, thanks, or come again from wherever they are. But it is a factor. And there are certain things. I mean, there are certain groups that have bigger problems with certain things, and there are certain groups that are better at certain things. And I don't mind bringing it up. And I know, I don't think that's racist.
I respect your right to do that, and I'm not calling you racist by any means, but I'm saying that, well, what's a shiv? Well, you keep on referring to if someone, you know, a black person casually comes up in a certain conversation, it's like, oh, well, I'm afraid that they're going to put a shiv in me. I have no idea what that is, and I don't think, I mean, what is that supposed to mean? I just want that clarified.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Shiv is like a prison knife.
A knife, yeah.
But, I don't know.
Because I'm a black person.
Right. I don't say black people put a shiv in you.
He says people who are physically abused put shivs in other people.
Yeah, but it's come up in a conversation, and I've listened to the show for about 2 or 3 years. I mean,
there's no doubt I've said whatever about whoever all the time. I'm not going to deny that. Give me your mother effing shoes! Yeah. Give me your shoes!
See, things.
that's scared straight, though.
Okay, and,
you see, scared straight.
The reference of nigger coming up at one show, I think 2 shows ago. It was very recent.
I think Anderson dropped that in, though.
Yeah, what was that whole con? You said it was
Listen,
out of context.
Hey, Alan, who cares?
I do.
Well, good. Listen, I don't know. I'm not going to explain everything that I say on this show.
It's your show.
If you like it, I'm not racist, but that doesn't. Let me say this. I'm not racist, and that gives me free rein to bash on many, many races. Including white. All right?
Okay.
All right. If you don't like it, fine. Okay. Don't listen.
All right.
All right, here we go. Let me.
Jesus Christ.
Real quick. That was
the blacks already.
That was totally out of context. I dropped it. And it made sense at the time. And
yeah, I remember.
But you were defending. When you said that at the time, you were defending someone who called in and said that there was racism at a school.
All right, Tris is getting bored here.
All right.
Back to the warp virus.
Yeah.
New England Journal of Medicine, November 2002. Human papillomavirus infection is a common sexually transmitted disease, Adam Common. Although most infections are benign, persistent infections is associated with development of cervical.
Oh, by the way, common doesn't mean anything.
Okay, but most, as I said, are benign.
What does that mean? Most will go away, burn out?
Yes.
Most. That's good. All right. Forget them condoms.
Nope.
All right.
We got to go to break.
Trissa is here tonight. She is the Bachelorette, of course, this Wednesday, 8 o'clock on ABC. They will be playing. Is it a two-hour finale?
Yeah, 2 hour, 8 to 10.
Big two-hour finale. It's down to two guys. One of them will be chosen. She, of course, can't say who it is tonight, but I'm going to tickle her and get it out of her during the break. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Trista is our guest tonight. She's the Bachelorette. The big season finale is coming up this Wednesday at 8 o'clock on ABC. Big two-hour long special. Dr. Drew, big into Trista. I know his type. But Trista, think a little more into the A-man because I'm rugged. You know what I mean?
You're rugged.
He's good around the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I am a physical therapist, so the whole doctor thing.
Yeah.
That must make you crazy.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
And you ended up specifically in pediatric physical therapy?
Mm-hmm.
That was after you did physical therapy licensing, you did a subspecialization?
No, I went to physical therapy school, got my master's, and then got my first job was in pediatrics.
So you just became specialized there through on the job?
Yeah, I did my clinicals, a couple of them in pediatrics, and
where?
That's why. Where did I do? Riley Hospital in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And at a couple different places, but it was very short term. But Miami Children's had a spot, and they only accept, I mean, they don't take really entry-level people all that often if they don't have pediatric experience. But since I had this clinical experience, they thought, this, you know, we'll take a...
Is this kids with chronic disabilities? Or
it's all varieties. I treated both outpatient and inpatient. I'd see post-op kids. I'd see cardiac kids. I went in the NICU. I saw syndromes and developmental delay, prematurity. Everything.
Yep. And now screw the kids, you got to do a corresponding for extra.
No, I really want to do something with kids after. Yeah. Whether it's volunteering or
sign,
going
sign
back to
their autographs on their way to your mansion.
Yeah. I really want to have kids.
No, listen, Drew turned his back on the community and stomped on his Hippocratic Oath as well. It's all right. You guys are going to make a buck. Now let's see. Kevin over here, who's 13, has got a question for Trista. Kevin?
Hey, Adam.
Hey.
Hey. Well, before I start, I just want to say that you're my god and hero and all that. And
thank you.
It's always very scary to hear from a 13-year-old.
Thank you.
Well, and I really look up to you and the things you do in life.
Sure.
And people should respect you more because you worked hard to get where you are today.
Yeah, damn straight. Damn straight I did.
People should respect him more.
Huh? Yeah, people don't respect me enough, Drew.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone listen to Adam.
Like where I come from. Drew with his silver spoon in his mouth. His daddy paying his way into school. Taking care of him, doing his homework for him. Not me.
Yes, sir, Miss Grohl.
That's right. All right.
Yeah, so, and it's a real honor to talk to you, and thank you for being a great person.
You still talking to me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's your question?
One more thing.
No. What do you want?
All right, fine. Well, my question is for Trista, and I just wanted to know what qualities you like in Ryan better than Charlie.
Mm-hmm. What do I like in Ryan better than Charlie? Well, He is a painter and a poet, and I really like that he has that talent in him. And Charlie,
what kind of painting
didn't really
do
that.
He does that enema painting where they drink that, and then they. You never seen that?
That's an enema painting.
Oh no, it goes up. Yeah, oh yeah, sorry. Oh, you're right. I got confused. I thought they just drank a gallon of the sand.
No, he just paints for fun.
Is he good?
And he painted a picture for me. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh really?
Better than I could do. But it's not, like, professional. He doesn't do it.
What is it with
Adam,
you bronze?
What do you think? You may just kind of got that together just for the show. Yeah, we just started painting.
Better yet, what do women care about this artistic crap?
Like, you guys are whispering.
I mean? Quiet. I think she's going to hear you.
No, no. Don't be silly.
Here's what I'm saying. If the guy can't turn a buck doing it, okay.
There you go.
I
mean, yeah.
Just one more thing.
Yeah, but for the show, we did it just to be able to make the whole, to fill out the whole.
Let's get back.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I... I mean, you know, there's...
Are you going to talk to me?
Okay, here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Here's my beef with the poetry. A guy who writes sort of mediocre poetry,
mm-hmm.
let's say, and I'm not saying your man does, but I'm in general, a guy who just writes mediocre poetry,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another guy who builds furniture, builds houses or something... The guy who writes the mediocre poetry is going to get way more credit for being artistic than the furniture builder. And that's what I don't like. I don't like that in women.
And
that's what I'm saying.
And I think as men, we don't trust the poetry.
As men, we look at that guy and we go, pussy.
No, not just pussy, but he's up to something.
He's up to something.
Yeah.
Well, if he's not, then we're really scared.
Okay.
Man, let's hope this is a plan to get some ass. Okay. Otherwise, we're in big trouble here, fellas. That's what we think of. And we sort of think of, if we wanted to do that, we could do that. This is the same with the performance art and bad abstract painting. But,
right.
All right. But our artistic thing is a good thing. That, you know, Drew
it's
sings.
It's a good thing. I like it.
Drew sings opera.
I love singing. I love singers, too.
Yeah.
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 Oh, switching over to me now, Adam.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah. Hey.
You're 19. What's up?
Yeah. I want to know.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You like singing, right?
Yeah.
Every night under the balcony.
Oh, no.
With a baby grand rolled onto the lawn. You come out in your negligee. Drew has a candelabra on top of the baby grand. He's wearing a tux. When he hits the high note, Where it hits a high note, his vest curls up and rolls like a shade under his neck. Yeah. You let your hair down, he grabs it and scales the lattice right up to the balcony and sweeps you into the bedroom. Continues singing while he performs oral on you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That's talent.
Yo, that's what I'm saying about the man.
You have fun with that, don't you?
I do.
That's good.
I do.
That's nice.
All right. Where were we? Anyway, Trista had an orgasm story that Drew was talking to me
about.
We're
going to get to that.
We are.
Okay. Jason.
All right. Let's, Jason?
And Adam and Drew, you are my heroes. I just love you.
Thanks, Jason.
And so, I am a big fan of The Man Show and Crank Anchors.
Thank you. Crank.
Coming out with a new Crank Anchor CD.
This guy's got to be on a commercial for Crank Anchors.
Crank Anchors will be on Comedy Central. The new season is going to start airing the beginning of March.
Well, I have got to see that. I am a big fan.
Thank you. Well, if you liked it last year, you're going to love it this season.
I loved it this year. Bertram.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Bertram this year, so thank you. All right, what's your question?
What are the long-term effects of ecstasy?
Very limited exposure can cause an injury to the brain and actually destruction of certain areas, very much like the use of long-term amphetamine.
Uh-huh.
So the symptoms that people develop is panic attacks and depression and memory problems. And even 10, 20, even sometimes 5 hits of ecstasy can create this injury. So it's quite serious. It's an area of the brain that seems to be getting just dissolved, quite literally.
Is it reversible?
Some of it is. Most of it is not.
Oh.
Hey, Jason.
What do you mean some of it?
That some of the problems get better with time. So the theory is that maybe some of this is getting better. But a lot of it, they've been shown in monkeys that the injury itself persists for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Jason, what's up with you? You got a crazy voice. You have a crazy nationality or crazy size? Or
I'm half Mexican and half American.
No.
That ain't doing it.
You wearing a retainer?
Yeah.
There you go.
You get that from wearing a retainer?
Wow, you're good.
He was like, was he clogging?
Yeah, but that.
No, he was talking like he had a thick tongue, and that's the retainer makes you talk like that.
Mm-hmm. And what?
Take the retainer out and talk to us.
Yep.
Here you go.
Take the
wait. Now say crank anchor.
Yeah, I had a question about it.
Crank anchor.
Say it again.
Crank anchor.
Yeah, see, it doesn't help, Drew. I mean, Drew, it was great. The retainer thing was a great. Yes, but I don't think it made a big difference. Well,
I heard it.
Well,
you didn't know that he had a retainer, did you?
I heard it.
You heard it clank.
No, I heard it, the thick tongue thing.
But now he sounds exactly the same without it. Watch this. Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I want you to quietly put the retainer in. We're good. We're doing 2 out of 3 here, too, Drew.
It's a great radio.
Jason, don't put the phone near your mouth. I don't want to know if the retainer's in or out. All right?
Okay.
You either put it in or you put it out.
Right.
Don't even answer. Just nod your head. Yes?
Yes.
Oh, no, I said nod your head. Yes?
There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
Sarai.
We're going to do 2 out of 3. You just say crank yankers. Yeah. When we come back, and you just tell me don't tell me whether you have the retainer or not, but you remember yourself, okay?
Okay.
We'll see if Drew can tell.
And it's out now. I can tell.
Okay. Just hold on. All right, you ready?
All right, it's out now.
Just quiet. Please, Drew. All right, you ready? You say crank anchors. Go ahead.
Crank anchors.
Okay, in or out?
Out.
Out. Was it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, either put it out, leave it out again, or put it in, or do whatever you want. We'll try it again. All right?
Science.
Uh-huh.
All right, Jason?
Uh-huh.
All right, go ahead.
Crank anchors.
It's back.
Oh, now it's in. Because he had a trouble to cut. Yeah.
I can hear when he breathes. I can hear.
Was that in that time, Jason?
It's
crazy, but right. I can hear it when he's breathing. I can hear the instructions.
Yeah, you can hear it.
All right, we're gonna do 5 out of 9.
No.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'm kidding.
Get an orgasm
one more
call
time.
Here. Let's go.
All right.
One more time.
One more time. Are you ready? Come on, Jason. Would you shut up? Now get focused this time.
Okay, I'm focused. I'm all focused.
Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Crank anchor.
It was in. And he took it out when it said crank anchor.
Trista, I am a big fan of you. I just love that.
right.
You are so hot.
Thank you very much.
How old are you, baby?
How old am I, baby? I'm 30.
30?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Shut up. But Jason sounds hot, right?
He sounds like a puppet.
Picture the guy.
He's a crank anchor's puppet.
Looks like a marionette. He's he's 19. He's got a retainer. Not turning you on, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You better.
I got a man anyway, so.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Off the show.
One of the guys, mm-hmm. right? Is it nice? I mean, the relief of sort of not having to. Well, I just mean not having this going to bed with question marks running around your head every night.
But we haven't been able to be together because it's a secret.
You know, how long has it been since
3 months?
3 months.
Yeah.
So that's got to be tough. You get right up to that point where you finally make that decision.
It's like cruel, you know. Here, you can have this guy, but no, you can't have him for 3 months.
How much time do you have together? They give you a day?
6 weeks. You mean not for the show?
Yeah, I mean after, you know, there comes a point in the show where you make the final decision, and sometimes that involves, you know, getting engaged. So obviously you'd want to be with the person.
Right.
Do they give you a week with the person before?
They gave us 4 days after it ended, and then we had a couple rendezvous before the show started airing.
Uh-huh. I see.
But very, very, very secluded places. And
is that known? Does ABC have to be aware of that? Or
they stuff? They knew it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And then once the show begins, there's no...
It's very difficult to do it once the show starts because now people knew him. Because he could go to wherever we were going to go.
Right.
And not be recognized. But I was recognized.
Right.
From the previous show.
Yeah, from the previous show. And from all the publicity from The Bachelorette. So it was a little bit harder once the show started.
And so then after this Wednesday, it's game on for you too.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be together on Wednesday night, 2 nights from now.
And then you got a thing coming up on Thursday.
Thursday is the tell-all special.
Yeah. How's that work?
Aaron and Helene are actually going to talk about what happened with them.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
The Last Bachelor.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened with them. You put a pox on them. That's what happened.
What?
Yes. You cursed them.
I did not. Me?
Oh, wait a minute. That's Aaron. Oh, wait. That's Alex.
That's the second one. No,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
Alex was the first one.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I have to do with Aaron?
Alex, you put a pox on, right?
No.
Yes.
We've been dating for a year.
I thought they broke up, Alex.
They broke up like 2 weeks ago.
Because you put a pox on them.
No,
you put a curse on them.
I didn't have anything
and
to do with it.
Aaron, who's the second guy.
He'll be talking about Helene, and then I'll be, Chris Harrison, the host of the show, will be talking to me and my chosen one.
Aaron didn't work out either with his
They just recently announced it.
All right.
Shocking.
Well, you guys will see. Actually, you know,
you better get married to this guy.
Well, it sucks because everyone compares the three of us on how we met the person that we're with.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be compared on individual basis. We're all separate relationships, even though we met in the same way.
Yeah.
So I think that it'll be interesting to see our relationship compared to Aaron and Helene's and Alex and Amanda's, because it's very different.
And we know it's between two guys. We got to go to break. When we come back, though, I'm just curious if whoever it is, it's one of the two guys, if they want to get into show business or move out here or do that, or they just want to go back to their life?
We just want to go back to normal, some kind of normalcy after the show ends. We're going to travel a little bit. We're going to take some time away from things.
How did either one of these guys live in L.A.?
Yeah, Charlie lives in Hermosa Beach.
Oh, I think we got our answer. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
What's up, this is Chavo from System of a Down, and you're listening to Adam and Drew on Loveline.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Yeah, that's right. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Trista's our guest tonight. She is the Bachelorette. She is just as fetching in person as she is on television.
Why, thank you, Adam.
And Adam is as fetching in person.
Thank you.
You're on the Tonight Show tomorrow night?
Yep.
And then GMA...
Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday with my mom and Thursday with my guy.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
And you really do sound genuinely excited about being with your man.
2 days. It's been 3 months. Very long 3 months.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty psyched.
Yeah.
To finally be able to say his name and not worry about spilling the beans and being sued for $5 million.
Right.
And just being able to hold his hand and walk around and do whatever we want. And not have people planning our lives. It's going to be nice.
Yeah, and plus, you get right up to that sort of that honeymoon part. I mean, you get you're with all those other guys. There's all these other distractions. There's cameras everywhere and all. And then right at the point when you've just been dying to get the guy alone, you can't do it. But
did you know this was the guy from the beginning?
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
I can't answer that because I could possibly give it away.
Were there, when you saw 25 guys? When you just laid eyes on these 25 guys, did you have a pretty good idea initially who was going to make the cut?
Yeah.
Like right when you laid eyes on them?
Well, there were a few that I didn't know. There were a few that, for sure, I was like, okay, he's great-looking guy. And Ryan and Charlie were both two of those guys that I thought that. But there were also some that I was kind of on the fence about, you know, I think they were good-looking guys, but I wanted to get to know their personalities.
Mm.
And there were some that I thought that were actually good looking, and then the conversations we had were just not clicking. I felt like I was pulling teeth. Sorry.
Yeah. That's what we'd be talking about.
Don't trigger any dentist.
I know. Don't trigger any dentist talk. Oh no!
You
want to
have
it.
Some conversation that feels like pulling teeth.
All right. I want to get to the orgasm conversation.
Yeah, we only have a couple minutes here.
Were we going to have that?
Do you want to just take a call or?
What? Drew, you indicated that you had like a call.
I know it dropped off. Let's try this one.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Okay. Rachel?
Hello.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wait a minute. Forget it. Let me ask you this, Trista. What about the guy who you pick, mm-hmm. who's watching the show, he's seen you make out with or embrace, or I don't know what base you got to. I don't know. Did you have sex with anybody?
He knows everything that happened.
He does.
Yeah.
Did you have sex with anybody?
I'm not going to say.
All right.
But she comment that she cannot have orgasmic intercourse like most women.
Well, that I confessed on the first show.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that she's become now the sort of...
poster child?
Yeah, poster child for anorgasmia.
And it's funny because, correct me if I'm wrong, but, or give me a percentage. It's like 70 to 80% of women, right?
Oh, 110%.
In his world, yeah.
Yeah.
But most women do not have orgasm with intercourse.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
See? So I'm not abnormal.
You're normal.
No.
I'm completely normal.
Yes. The fact that you can have an orgasm puts you in a nice,
exactly,
healthy pool.
I love Dr. Drew even more.
Oh, listen, I could have told you that.
Okay, I love Adam, too.
Yeah. So, so.
Yeah. Oh, no, here goes Meg.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to upset your delicate sensibilities here, so we'll try to keep this on the straight and narrow. But okay. Cannot have an orgasm through intercourse, which...
Right.
Really, I mean, 70% doesn't sound high enough for me.
Really?
It really doesn't.
Like 100% of women.
It really doesn't sound high enough for
me. Well, I don't understand how a woman can. Like, explain it to me, because, first of all, I've heard that there's two different kinds.
Women can have orgasms driving a manual. Yeah.
Totally, but that's clitoral.
The two different kind thing is sort of BS. It's a women's magazine BS.
Okay.
The fact is, there's sort of two different kinds of women. Women that have them during intercourse, and they tend to not like oral sex.
Right.
And they tend to be multi-orgasmic.
Okay.
That's that version.
Okay.
Most women need direct clitoral stimulation. It's not during intercourse, and they have a refractory phase, and they have single orgasm, and they're satisfied afterwards, and that's that. That's most women.
Okay.
But now...
It's not vaginal to clitoral. It's just during, not during.
It's really two different. And then there's some people kind of sit on the fence. Sometimes they can have orgasms during intercourse, but really they're having clitoral orgasms.
Okay.
All right.
Is there a vaginal orgasm?
Women will talk about it feeling slightly different when they have it during intercourse, but no kidding. You know what I mean?
People,
it's a different experience.
But when people say vaginal orgasm, they're saying, I'm having an orgasm during intercourse.
That's all they're talking about.
Okay.
Right. All right. So,
because people were confused about that. I brought that up on the reunion show. Someone asked me if I had experienced it yet. And I said no. And I said that there were two different kinds. And I have gotten so many questions about there being two different kinds.
And we get crap for not being able, because we're not women, we're not supposed to be able to talk about this. And Berman and Berman, the Berman sisters talk about this a lot. And they say the exact same thing we say.
Do they?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so anyway, we're down to oral. And that's...
Are we?
Yeah, well, that's what
okay.
it seems like. But women, you know, you can still enjoy intercourse.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's about the intimacy for me.
Yeah, women don't need an orgasm the way a man does to feel okay about the experience.
Right.
No, and plus, if they know that's waiting at the end of the penis rainbow that they get themselves some intercourse, and then the nice bucket of gold.
No, they don't need an organ. They have satisfaction without the organ.
I know, but it's only, and this is, Drew, this may be your policy not to give a woman an orgasm, but it certainly isn't mine. It's not the way my father brought me up. And, you know, you do the intercourse for a while, and then you finish off with the oral sex, right?
Lovely, sure.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, don't play stupid. That's the combo. That's the order. That's the combo. That's the number two. That's what we would do.
Okay.
All right. She said yes. You heard her, Drew.
She said okay.
Right. I got a special technique for the ladies' students.
Oh, God, no.
It's called the carpet bombing. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nobody gets out of that village.
All right.
I want to thank Trista for coming in here. She's just staying the first hour. It was a delight to meet you.
Thank you. And you as well.
And I want you to know that, you know, whenever we see anybody who's on television beside us, we decide to, we figure out what's wrong with them.
Right.
But Trista,
fine.
No problems here. They seem very well put together.
Oh, also, somebody from reality television who can talk.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Who might have a brain.
All right. The Bachelorette, everybody. Wednesday, 8 o'clock, ABC, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. That's my song. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Love Line. Trista's left the studio. The one of those guys who hang out in front. What do I call those guys?
Sploozers.
Sploozers. Part spaz, all loser. You guys can cut out now. You don't have to hang out to get the pictures of Trista anymore. She's hit the road. She was a delight.
We're used to people coming off reality television and sort of not being able to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, she seemed different than most of the people who come off reality TV.
She's going to be cut above the average reality show fare. And she was cute. She's nice. Friendly. Nice nice to meet her. Not a disappointment at all. Now I got to get to the dentist.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, I'll tell you. I had this big old, you know, they pulled my tooth. I had the root canal done on the tooth. Yeah. And then the root canal didn't take. Mm. It got infected. It didn't work. And that root canal was long and excruciating. And root canal feels like someone is putting a toothbrush up your ass for about an hour and a half. It is weird feeling. There's pain, and then there's sort of weird pain.
Yeah.
There's that sort of, you know,
fluffy pain.
Well, there's two types of pain, and I'm like, you're talking a guy who's had his shoulder dislocated for more, you know, 3 or 4 days, and knees dislocated. Man, I've been punched in the face 1,000 times. That's a different kind of pain. There's crawling inside of you pain, you know,
visceral pain.
Yeah, and it's when they're dealing with nerves and they're scraping things. Right. And the thing about the root canals, they're actually into the root. They're scraping the root. They're killing the root. Whatever, you can just feel it, and it didn't take. So they had to pull. Then they put the cap on top of it, the crown, and it wouldn't come off. They put this weird gum thing in your mouth, and you chomp down on it, and then you try to spread your mouth, and you try to pop it off. That goes on forever. And then next thing you know, a guy's got pliers. He's trying to dig out what he's put on top of. Then he's redo it. Then it's off to the specialist, and now the specialist has to redo it. Then he redoes it, and it's more just exquisite cut to your soul pain. And then when that's all done, it's like, well, now the tooth has to come out. And, you know, that $5,000 later and many hours logged. I could have been a goddamn pilot. The amount of time I had logged in the dentist chair, if I'd logged it in a co-pilot, I'd be a captain at
United.
I was going to say TWA. I'm really not around anyway. I'd be flying JetBlue now. Yeah. All right. So now the tooth has to come out. So the tooth comes out. That's, of course, another ordeal. And now it's time to put the new tooth in. And my thing is just give me the bridge. Just give me the little fake tooth that snaps in between the other two teeth. I got no problem with that. And he's like, nah, we better do the thing where we tap the titanium bolt into your soul. That's what they anchor it to your soul. And I was like, just give me. Then the other thing was, is Let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Here's what I say to the dentist. Look, I don't want the thing. I've been living without this tooth for like 6 months now. I like it.
Yeah.
I got no problem. It's like, well, your teeth will start moving around. Really? I'm going to really start like flying around inside my mouth? It's been 6 months. Haven't seen anything yet. And he's like, well, no, they'll start shifting. They'll start spreading out. So then I pointed out my lower teeth.
Need a room.
I said I could use a little room under here.
Yeah.
God bless them if they spread out a little bit. Well, it won't be the... Yeah, it's always like a little spurious. It's like it's sort of self-serving. Like, your teeth are going to start moving around, but the ones that do need the room aren't going to get it. Just the other one next to it is going to do it. But anyway, you got to get this thing taken care of. So they do this one. So they get in your mouth. I'm in there. I'm lying down. They're doing the thing. And they always do this. They lay a little groundwork. All dentists do this. Dentists and mechanics do this. Opens the mouth. He's got the thing in there. He's getting x-rays. He's poking around. Jeez, I don't like the way this number 5 bicuspid looks.
Oh, boy.
It's like, what? And I obviously, you can't be talking about the tooth that's missing, can you? No. But the one behind it, is that giving you any trouble? And I said to the guy, I said, look, do you guys ever just do the goddamn tooth you're working on? Do we always have to get into the next tooth? We got to lay out the next tooth already? Like, emotionally, do you realize this is devastating? You understand? Like, I understand there's other teeth, other days, other troubles. Why do we got to start with that? We got to start with laying the groundwork for the next trip.
I know. I'll finish this one.
Just finish this one. Let's see. 12 minutes from now, you're going to be drilling into the bone of my jaw with a quarter-inch bit, okay? While blood flows endlessly from my fractured gums. Really? Do I got to look down the road? Do I got to get in April now when I'm going to be back here again? What is it? I'll take your word for it. Tell me afterward. It's just endless. Like, why don't you catheterize me? Give me a note. Give me a Mac desktop. I'll just live here. You catheterize me. Give me some space sticks, some jerky, and some stream water. I'll just start emailing my jokes into Jimmy's show from here. You're right. See another tooth you don't like? Maybe we start with that crap. So anyway, it's like, yeah, I see something else I don't like. I'm like, so okay, just relax, you know. So they got the thing, and it is my biggest beef. And Drew, please, this is all I ever say to the guy, and the guy drives me nuts. But they clank at you.
Oh, yeah.
They got the sucker. And for the surgery, they don't use the plastic sucker. For the surgery, use the metal sucker. And the metal sucker, and it's always operated by chicks, and chicks have bad hand-eye coordination. And it's just clank, 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 clank. They're just clanking your teeth with the metal. And I know I seem like a prick prima donna here, but is there anything more annoying than having metal constantly making contact with your teeth in a clanking way? I mean, if you're eating and your fork hits at once, your meal is screwed.
But you mean you get that electrical feeling, kind of?
It's not so much the metallic thing. It's not the I'm chewing on foil thing.
Right, right.
It's the sort of... Your mouth is wide open, and someone is periodically just sort of tapping your tooth with a hard metal object.
That's
just
annoying.
Clank, clank, clank. They got the mirror in there.
Yeah.
When they're using the mirror, they sort of use the mirror to get things out of the way, get the gum out of the way. The sucker thing, the suction thing, well, obviously, when the guy's drilling through your gum, there's a, you know, you get hold of a bad Funyun, your mouth bleeds for days.
Yeah.
You know, and your gums are full of blood.
Yep.
So, obviously, if they're drilling a hole in your... literally 3/16 bit, almost a quarter inch bit going through your gum, obviously there's going to be a fair amount of blood around there, and they're having to sop it all up. They're having to use the suction thing. So the chick's got the thing. She's just banging it from one tooth and banging to the next. And I say every goddamn time, you can't make this stuff out of plastic. You can't. You can't do it. Every goddamn part in my car engine's made out of plastic. You guys can't figure this out. You can't figure it out. You don't want to figure it out. And here's the breakthrough. Here's the breakthrough. I swear to Christ, here's the breakthrough. They got latex gloves that are grape flavored now for the kids. Yeah, they're dusting.
Oh my God.
They got. She tells me this. I'm like, oh, just stop with the novelty part of the dentistry. Yeah. I know. You got the grape flavored gloves. You got the pina colada flavored pumice. You got all the bells and the whistles, but you still can't make anything out of goddamn plastic. And here's the point. You can. You just don't want to do it. And I'm like, am I the only human being that doesn't like metal whacking against my teeth the entire time I'm in the chair? Oh, my God. Brutal. Brutal. Well, anyway. Hey, good times.
Good times, yeah.
Yeah, the guy did a good job.
I can see that. It was like a saucer in your jaw there.
Oh, it was great. He showed me the X-ray. The X-ray is like really out of a comic book. It's like tooth, screw, tooth. And really, the only bad experience about the whole thing, beside having the hole drilled in my soul, was the constant banging and clanking with the suction thing against all the other teeth, which again cannot be made out of plastic because why, Drew?
Because they don't want to.
Right.
Because they
don't feel like it. They gave me the nitrous, but I can't.
You can't breathe through your nose.
Oh, that's the other thing that makes me. And I was, I got to apologize to these people because I was riding them like mules the whole time. But here's the thing. I'm doing the beginning of the procedure, and he's like, "You getting high? You drifting off to La La Land?" And I'm like, no, I breathe through my mouth. I can't breathe through my nose. And when my mouth is wide open because you guys got 2 feet and a half a train track in there, I can't breathe through my nose because my mouth is gaping open. So turn up the nitrous, please. And the guy's like, well, it's up. It's up. It's up real good. So I'm like, all right. Then about halfway into it, I'm like, listen, you can't turn that nitrous up anymore? Because he goes, okay, I'll turn it up. And I was like, what about the part where I told you to turn it up there? You don't believe me? And at the end, he was like, so how'd that nitrous do? And I go, what happened? What experience? I didn't even know what happened on the last hour. And he goes, seriously? And I go, no, I was completely lucid throughout the entire procedure, and it sucked. Turn the goddamn nitrous up. What is that? It cost me $120. What is it about the part where the doctors don't want to get you high? And here's the other thing, too, that drives me insane, too. You come walking in the office like, did you take that pill? What pill? Remember last time you took the pill? Made you feel better? Yeah. Did you take it this time? No. Why not? You didn't tell me to. Oh. You know what I mean? The hell, Drew? What's up with you doctors? Don't want to get us effed up. And let me say this. And then we're going back to the calls. I want a non-lightweight designation. You understand?
For you.
For me.
Yeah.
Because I come in there and they're like, did you bring someone? Did you drive yourself? Listen, I 8 Percocets, a handful of Vicodin, and 5 Mickey's Big Mouths that drive better than you, bitch. Now, don't worry about me driving. Please don't worry about me driving. You're talking to the guy who Drew, back me up here.
I'm listening.
Top-grade sleeping pills and 5 Bloody Marys, and I'm chatting Alec Baldwin up in the galley of the airplane all the way back to LAX, yes?
You've driven me crazy on many a flight in that condition.
I'm impervious to drugs.
Yes.
I got a real high tolerance. So don't worry about getting me effed up on a little bit of nitrous. I did whole tanks of that crap in high school. Believe you me, I'm fine. I here's what I want, Drew. I want the heavyweight designation on my medical charts. This guy's tough. This guy can take some drugs. Let's pump it up. Turn it up to 11 for this guy. I don't want that crap my mom gets. You know what I'm saying?
It seems reasonable.
My mom takes half a Tylenol and has a cap full of Manischewitz, and she's her clothes are off. She's dancing on the table. Not me. I don't want that. Where's my heavyweight designation, Drew? They have your blood type. They have what you're allergic to. What about the heavyweight part? You know when they have to decide, should he get the codeine? Should he get the tunnel with codeine or just a now the heavyweights? We get the good stuff all the time, right?
Yeah.
All right, Drew, work on that, please. I don't want the lightweight designation anymore. I want to turn the goddamn nitrous on. Rachel?
Hello.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been having a lot of problems with my boyfriend because he's kind of upset that we've been trying so many different things to get me to orgasm, and it hasn't been working.
Before you go on, Rachel, I was just thinking, you know, we've taken 2 calls tonight.
I want the heavyweight designation.
Thank you.
All right, Rachel, big H, right? Big red H, yeah. Right on the medical record.
Go ahead, Rachel. Keep going.
Okay, so it's just been, like, a huge problem with us, and to the point where he's not even, like, wanting to have sex because he just gets frustrated.
Hmm.
He really wants to please me, and it's just been real hard for us.
And again, he doesn't understand that it could be a pleasing experience for you without an orgasm.
Yeah, and I'm trying to tell him that. And I can orgasm on my own. And actually, we've played with some toys, and that works. But he kind of has low self-esteem and feels insecure that he can't do it himself.
You mean he wants to do it during intercourse?
Any way he can, but we've tried to do it during intercourse when I'm, like, using a toy.
That won't happen.
But oral sex, no?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I've tried to relax. I've just got everything. I mean, it's not just him. I've had, you know, other boyfriends have had problems with that. I mean, it's just, it really matters to him a lot. And I tell him, you know, I'm still enjoying it, but he's not. I don't know if there's anything else I can try. We've exhausted just about everything. I mean,
there. Well,
been patient.
Well, you don't think it's him, though. I mean, you just think this is where you're cut out.
You know, I don't think he's talking a big game, but he said he hasn't had problems with other, you know, women.
Well, and you still enjoy having intercourse with him?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I want it all the time. It's great. I love it. I'm very attracted to him.
All right. All right. Well,
he needs to calm down.
Then he needs to calm down.
This is his problem. You shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just, it's so frustrating. Like,
yeah,
set
yeah,
up.
But don't take it on. This is his thing, and it's...
Yeah.
You need to get him to cut it out somehow.
Okay, I'll just...
Just tell him
I'll
to
have
it.
Him listen to your show. Maybe that'll work.
Cut it out. That's ridiculous.
Well, it's ironically, it's the insecurity about not giving you the orgasm that ends up pushing you apart rather than the not giving you the orgasm
right,
apart.
Right, itself, yeah.
I'm going to have to get that other...
Heavyweight, Adam, heavyweight. Everyone.
Am I the first guy to suggest this?
Yeah.
That I get the same stuff that the 110-pound Asian broad does who's never had an ounce of reefer in her life or knows what it's like to do a beer bong?
Yeah.
Really? We get the same stuff.
Same stuff.
That makes sense to everybody? That's everyone's plan, huh? Yeah? She can't drive, I can't drive, all that? Mm. I've logged millions of miles high and drunk. Millions.
We'll be sure to... Tell Culver, my buddies at Culver PD here.
Driven around the world 1,000 times. Hi. 1,000 times I've ridden around the world. You know when Superman would go around the world?
Yeah, yeah.
I've done that.
Proud of you.
Drunk and high.
That's nice.
That's right. Well, I'm still better than a bad driver. Who's
Ashley?
Sober. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ashley, 13. You're 13. What's up?
On call for 101 minutes on hold.
Well,
good times.
Okay. Me and my boyfriend, he's 16. Mm-hmm. And about a month ago, I lost my virginity to him. And today we had off school, and so we planned on him coming over, and we ended up having sex again, and my mom came home in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, what grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, and he's in what grade?
He's a junior, but he's a young junior. He didn't turn 16 till like, September.
So he's in the 11th grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing about school. It's age is out the window. It's sort of grades.
That's true.
For me.
And 8th and 11th is a big difference.
That's
huge difference.
That's pretty spanny.
And then he's...
I mean, when I was... Drew, could you... Well, you went to school at the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs. Mm-hmm. All had the same grades. But when I was going to high school over at North Hollywood High, the idea of going back to Walter Reed Junior High... To date someone would have been bizarre to any of the high school guys. You know what I mean?
No.
Would have been weird.
Unheard of. I mean.
Right. Yeah. Especially in the 11th grade. So, this is what happens. He's on, his balls are on 11th grade agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you get dragged along with it.
Any event, what happened with all this?
Well, basically, my mom came in and she was too mad to even talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
She made him get out, and she went back to work.
And what did she do? Did she physically catch you?
Well, we heard her come in, so he, like, kind of ran into the bathroom, and I was just there, and she, it was, I don't know.
Did she walk right into your room, or?
Yeah.
And you had your clothes off?
Yeah, I was under the covers, basically.
And she walked in, and she said what?
She basically was just like, what are you two thinking? And was just yelling. And
how did she know he was around at that point?
Because he can drive, and his truck was outside.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his truck's outside. And doesn't he know you got to park down the street?
Yeah. And he was already paranoid, but I just kept telling him it was okay, and now I don't know how to act around my mom now.
So now what did your mom do? Did she talk to him?
She... said a few things to him outside when she was leaving for work and he was leaving. I don't know what was said.
Yeah.
But then she came home from work and, you know, she'd had hours to calm down because this was around like 1 or 2 o'clock. She didn't get home till 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I couldn't even look at her.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversation did you have?
She was just basically telling me how disappointed she was in me and how she didn't understand why I would do this. And
did she talk to you about birth control?
Just about... having sex, period.
What are you using for birth control?
I use a condom.
All right. And
so what's the question for us?
just basically, I'm so uncomfortable around my mom, and I don't know what to do now. I just feel,
We're not going to be able to take,
even look at her.
Well, yeah. We're not going to be able to take that away from her. Hopefully, she'll be able to kind of hang in and continue this dialogue, continue talking to you. This is sort of an opportunity for her really to kind of let you know how she feels about these things. And, yeah, it's uncomfortable when it gets going, and it's certainly an embarrassing situation. But God bless her. She's trying to, you know, really tell you how she feels about this, what she thinks is going to happen to you because of it. And
where's your dad?
My parents got divorced when I was about 7, and he lives up in Ohio, like where I was born. And I only see him, like, maybe once a year. We don't talk
to him. Just remind mom about that, because that's where a lot of this is coming from.
All right. Listen, your boyfriend sounds like an all right guy, but he's in 11th
suspicious
grade, and you're in the 8th
yeah
grade, and he's having driving his truck over to the house and having sex with an 8th grader. That's too young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you not have any more sex for a while?
Yeah, because, I don't know. I guess it's just another thing is because it's like one thing after another with my mom now. Like, well, when I was 11, I was molested by my cousin.
Oh, boy.
And then back in November, I started cutting.
Okay.
And my mom found out, and it's just like one thing after another.
Yeah, but, okay, let me give this speech real quick as I feel obligated to do it. These poor goddamn moms, they marry these, well, here's what they do. Their dads are a-holes.
Yep.
So, they marry a-holes.
Yep.
Now, they go, their dad was like, you know, abusing them, whether it be with booze or sexually or physically. Then they hand them off to the abusive a-hole who promises to abuse them.
Mm-hmm.
That goes on for a while until the abuse gets too great. They naturally crank out a couple of kids because that's what stupid people do. Then dad takes off, usually to Florida. Yeah. And spends the rest of his life there on a boat.
Visiting the kid.
Seeing the
holidays.
Kid twice a year and feeling remarkably good about himself. Yeah. Remarkably good. He's a good dad. He's a good dad.
Love my kids.
Got a good girl. Loves the kids. Send him a novelty size stuffed panda bear just the other month. Come on. That's got to be worth something. And then he goes there and lives sort of scot-free and rent-free on some boat in Florida while his kid just gets passed around like a joint at a Doobie Brothers concert.
Right.
Just acting out and whatever. Then they get into it with mom.
Yeah,
and
mom,
teenage girls cannot stand their moms. As a matter of fact, I don't know who teenage girls can stand.
But they especially can't stand their moms.
Yes, but my sister did not like my mom. Mm-hmm. She didn't like my stepmom. She didn't like my dad. She didn't like my stepdad. She didn't like the Culligan man.
Yeah.
She didn't like anybody who got near the house.
She's like antisocial types, though. She's like Jim Morrison.
Liked other screwed-up teens, but she didn't like anybody who was in any position of any kind of authority whatsoever.
Right.
And just never stopped acting out, but especially taking it out on mom.
Yeah. And now, the more the mom pulls her weight and taking care of the kid, the more the mom gets abused.
So. Right. So meanwhile, the guy's living in Florida on a fishing boat. And he's having a good old time out in the sun. His daughter is turning this guy into Shea, the slain Cuban, no, Mexican, yeah. no, Cuban okay. Rebel. And meanwhile, mom is the Wicked Witch of the North, and all she's trying to do is keep the kid in school, keep the bills paid, and go to and balance that with her work. Right?
Absolutely.
She's getting endless amounts of crap. Listen, all you screwball daughters out there, you got a problem with your no-count asshole dads.
That's what the problem
Those are the guys you should hate.
And your granddad.
And your granddad who did whatever to mom. Mm-hmm. Now, cut your mom some goddamn slack, would you please? These women are trying.
Here.
They got dumped. They're lonely. Now all they got is go to work and then come home to your bratty ass who wants to get another nipple piercing. You got to be pissed at someone? Be pissed at your dad. Leave your mom alone.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Listen, I know we haven't taken a call tonight.
None. But listen. Four calls.
Okay, but listen.
Your teeth.
I want to get back onto this heavyweight versus lightweight thing. Producer Ann brought up a good point out in the hall.
I think you're having seizures tonight.
I'm just a little fired up lately. Yeah. That's all. I want the heavyweight designation on my driver's license. Just like right next to the donor sticker.
Well, you said out there in the hall, we developed the Bull Taco pylon test, right?
We ride
a mini bike through some
pylons after a six-pack in the parking lot.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to know seriously, Drew. Okay. Would you agree?
Seriously.
Okay, but hold on a second.
All right.
Would you agree to this?
I'm agreeing to the whole, you're a heavyweight. You're a heavyweight.
Well, let's, no. Now, forget about me.
I'm going to go create a designation for you.
Forget about me. Forget about me. Let's just look at it this way. Somebody is 6'2 and they're 190 pounds, and you take 10 guys that are 6'2 and 190 pounds, and you give all 10 of those guys 5 1-ounce shots of vodka within a half-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
Could you agree that those 10 guys may act differently or have different degrees of intoxication?
In fact, sons of alcoholic fathers have been proven to be resistant to the intoxicating effects of alcohol.
Or, listen, let's face it. Anyone has 5 shots of vodka, they feel it, but there is a wide margin of how it affects you.
The males who can drink their friends under the table is a marker for alcoholism.
Right.
Those are the ones with the gene.
God bless them. So here's my point, Drew. But in the eyes of the law, the 6'2", 190-pound guys, all 10 of them, that all consume the same amount of vodka in the same time, would all be over the legal limit of .0 whatever.
Yep.
But if one group or one person had the ability not to feel the intoxicating effects of those, of that alcohol, then wouldn't that make a huge difference in the way they operated a car, for instance?
Yes, so we should have the heavyweight range.
And we should have the lightweight range, because 0.08 is too high for my mom. I mean, my mom has a glass of champagne, and I wouldn't let her drive a moped to get the mail.
Yeah.
She's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, once we figure this out, then couldn't we get that on my license, and then when I got pulled over and I blow 0.15, I'm still fine.
Yep.
And couldn't I use this in court if I ever got pulled over?
Ooh, that's interesting.
I think I could. I could argue that 0.08 is some sort of random arbitrary number, and while that, just like 100 pounds would be too much for a lot of guys to lift off the ground with injuring himself, not a bodybuilder. You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
it just should be a higher mark for him.
You're
stronger.
You're right.
And if I can prove that I can get to 0.08 and be more functional or pass whatever the test is that involves whatever, then how come I got to pay?
Yep. I think you're right.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you very much.
You're a heavyweight.
I want it on my license, Drew. Mm-hmm. I really want to work on this. Robert?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Yesterday, I went out just on the spur of a moment with one of my friends, and I got my tongue pierced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, my 3 roommates, they all think that is one of the gayest things in the entire world.
Well, it's a little fruity for a guy, but who cares?
But not super gay.
Not super gay. It's not, I don't even look at it as gay, really. I just look at it as sort of weird.
Energy, yeah. It's the energy.
Yeah. The nipple ring worse. Actually, nipple ring is just weird, too.
Mm-hmm.
2 earrings, gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the ears.
Yeah.
Earrings in the ears?
No, I don't have any. The tongue's the first one.
All right. All right.
Well, there you go. Good times. Make sure you take care of it properly. Do all the mouthwashes and stuff.
Not going to affect your career as an auctioneer?
Those things get infected, and there have been now cases of brain abscesses from the tongue.
Oh.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy.
Mr. Personality.
People are quick tonight. Yeah. James, 21.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, Adam?
Oh, my mouth hurts because I have a 22 slug in my jaw.
I don't know about that 0.08 thing. I once got a DUI with a 0.03.
You did?
Yeah, well, zero tolerance. I wasn't 21.
Oh.
Which brings me to my question. You hear funny things in jail, right?
Well, sure, yeah.
I heard something. This is kind of Adam, you're cool and whatnot, but this is something that I think you're probably going to get a kick out of. My question is, can you really give a girl, an instant orgasm by shocking her with a battery?
No.
No?
No.
So it's kind of like that little 9-volt thing, you put it to your tongue and it tickles, so it wouldn't tickle a girl anymore if you...
It might tickle her, but that's not how orgasm is achieved.
If you gave it to her downstairs, you mean?
Well, what would happen if they put it on your penis?
I don't put it on my penis.
All right, but just what if? It's the same, the clitoris and penis are the same basic.
Well, tissue. I don't do that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is my penis isn't wet,
Right.
Neither does the clitoris necessarily.
Well, let's say the vagina does get wet. Yeah. Would it conduct it that way?
I don't know. It tickles your tongue, don't it?
Yeah. I'm asking Dr. Drew.
Maybe it will conduct it. Soft tissues.
Well, here's what I'm saying. You take that. Have you taken the 9-volt, put it on your tongue before?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Never done that?
Yeah.
Show hands. Who's put the 9-volt on the tongue? Yeah. Really? Yeah. We got about half the peanut gallery has.
Right? You have to have two. You have a current. You have to have positive, negative.
Yeah. Well, 9-volt has it on the same end of the battery.
I see.
And so when you press it on your tongue, I guess your tongue is sort of a conductor. Mm-hmm. It's wet, and the current goes between the negative and the positive side.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't do it if you put it on your forearm, but if you put it on your tongue, it's a way you can tell if the battery has any juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Drew, I'd like to write a book about the things you haven't done.
I know. It's sad.
People write books about things they have done, but I'd like to write a book about the things Drew has done. It'd be about 1,100 pages or so.
Yeah, it would.
Big almanac. Boom.
Epic.
We'd dedicate the first 750 pages of the movies you hadn't seen. So you put your tongue on the thing, and you get the buzz. Now, if you put that thing on your vagina, it's sort of mucosal down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It probably would conduct something, right?
I think your penis would, too.
Well, your penis is not moist.
It just have to be closer together. It just wouldn't conduct as far.
No, it needs the actual moisture.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the...
Conducts better.
Well, it not only does it conduct better, it just conducts, period. It's sort of like getting a shock.
Okay.
You know, that's the way it travels, is the moisture. Would not work on your nose or your forehead at all.
Not sufficient current, right?
Yeah, doesn't feel like anything.
Hmm.
All right. So we could try that?
On the vagina, sure.
Okay.
But be that as it may, that is not what triggers an orgasm in female. Running a current across the clitoris, no.
Figure most things you hear in prison.
It's a suspect.
Good choice of words there, Drew. Taylor?
Yes.
You're 21?
Taylor is a heavyweight.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need that too, but are you that way with marijuana also, Adam?
No, he's lightweight. Complete.
I get pretty good and stoned pretty easily.
Okay, why can't I?
I don't know.
Probably the fewest amount of hits that I've gotten high off is probably 20.
And you know what, by the way, Taylor?
Yeah?
When I get my designation for my heavyweight on the license,
it
has a little booze bottle, has a little pill, a little prescription pill, but the bong will have an X in front of it. Like, this guy's not a bong, he's not a pot heavyweight.
Well, you don't have to have the X, you just have the little insignias there for the ones that you are heavyweight for.
Yeah, you get the stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've earned my merit badge and prescription drugs and
pills,
booze.
Yeah, pills and drugs.
Right, but I don't have the pot one. So technically, if I get pulled over and I'm stoned, I'm just like one of you guys. Mm-hmm. I don't have the heavyweight designation for that. So be fair, Drew.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Okay. It's 20 hits before you get high.
And I've been smoking probably for about a year, and about probably 2 months ago, pretty much cannot get high at all.
What's a pot brownie do to you? Ever eat a pot brownie?
Yes. In fact, actually, I make pills.
You make pot pills?
Yes.
For what?
Basically the same thing, huh?
Do you like pot?
When I can get it to work.
Why are you so hell-bent on getting pot to work when it doesn't seem to be your drug?
Your thing, right.
I don't know, because when I do get it to work, I really like it.
Hmm.
But it takes a lot of effort. And
I know, but...
Isn't it supposed to have a reverse...
Hold on, quiet down. Drew, isn't this a little sort of suspect to you that she seems to be working so hard for the pot?
Yeah.
Now, either she's overstating it, or she's got a problem.
Yeah. Or she's trying to keep up with somebody or something, you know.
Well, she's making pot pills? I mean... why all the energy?
Right.
Taylor?
Okay, first tell me why it's not working, though.
Because pot is a neuromodulatory substance, and it is very different person to person. Some people get these tremendous euphorias, and that's all they can think about for many years to come. Other people get panic attacks and paranoid and don't really get much. And some people get, like you, nothing much in either direction.
And why would it have stopped working all of a sudden?
It tends, as time goes along, the positive effects tend to go away.
Really?
Yeah, it gets more difficult to get higher power.
You've done enough. You've done so much of it, too.
Yeah, I've done a lot.
Tell me about your pot pills that you make.
What about them?
She's a Mormon, too. Maybe she's sort of got a score to
What do I answer with? We got to do five goddamn rounds of questions or anything. Tell me about the pot pills that you make. What about them? I don't know. Tell me about them.
Like how they work or how I make them?
Whatever.
It's basically the same as a pot brownie.
Right. All right. Yeah, I know how they work. Just, I'm doing the math on how they work, but how do you make them?
You just grind up the pot into a fine powder and mix it with the oil, hot oil, and it bonds to the oil or whatever, and then you just let it cool and pack it into gel packs.
Into gel packs. So now, and what would one pill be the equivalent of? Like a joint or something? Like how much pot could you get into one pill? Well, how high would one pill get the average person?
Well, pretty high. And I had two friends who both took one pill. One of them made them really high. One of them, it was too much and she was sick all day long.
Yeah.
And so, I can take up to like 8 pills easily.
And why, so pill form, just because it's easier, you can take it with you?
Because it was taking too much for me to smoke it. I was worried about my lungs. All right.
So you're grinding up eating pot. All right. And why don't you just forget about this pot altogether? Because you're making pot pills. That doesn't worry you at all? Doesn't strike you as, like, maybe you got a problem at a certain point?
No.
I mean here's what I'm saying. I like my booze. I like my booze plenty. But if I got home and I was out of booze, I'd probably go to bed. I wouldn't start drinking fingernail polish. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is sort of the equivalent to that.
Are you taking other substances other than pot?
Just alcohol.
And how does that affect you?
I have a really high tolerance for alcohol also, but...
Yeah. Do you have alcoholism in your family?
Sure.
No.
Oh, come on.
You got to have something. You're making pot pills, for Christ's sake.
I know.
All right, so what do you do for a living?
I'm in school right now.
Are your parents Mormon?
My grandparents are.
Okay, so that's why they don't touch alcohol, right?
Well, what about her parents?
That is true. There could be alcoholism because, my parents drink, though, and they're not alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are you, junior college?
No.
Now, you know what? I don't get junior college from you because you're making pills. You're like a pharmacist, for Christ's sake. All right, listen, you know what? Here's what it is, Taylor, and then we got to go because, okay, you know, I got to complain more about my mouth. And Drew, stop me if you disagree with any of this. Yeah. Taylor, you sound like a smart person. You sound like you have a high IQ and you sound like an intelligent person. Sometimes that works against you because you're able to rationalize things. You're intelligent enough to sort of work around what could be a burgeoning addiction here.
Yeah, you're that's what it sounds like to me. Convince yourself intellectually there's no problem. In fact, there's a real serious issue going on.
There is a definite momentum when you're making pot pills, and it's just something you need to start looking into. I don't know why it is you don't get as high as other people. It's very random that way. Some people have orgasms, some people don't. Some people, you know, burn when they go in the sun, and some people tan, some people get high, and some people don't.
Yeah, it has to do with the number of receptors and how your brain responds to these
different chemicals. Did being on antidepressants affect pot at all?
No, it more just makes the antidepressants not work.
All right. Okay. So look into all this stuff and start using your powerful mind for good instead of evil.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right. Good times. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm it's Dr. Drew, Queens of Stone Age in the background there. All right. Home stretch here, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the phones. Steve, you're 19.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, hello.
My girlfriend.
First clear caller we've had in a week. The phone.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure how loose it Steve is. But go ahead, Steve.
Me and my girlfriend have been having sex for about 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And she still wants to have just two main positions, either me on top or her, you know. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
Those are the two main positions, aren't they?
I'd say her on, yeah.
Those are the two main ones.
Cowgirl or missionary. Sounds about right.
I guess there are three main positions.
You have to add doggy to that. Yeah.
Well, that's about, everything else is just variation on those themes.
Seems like it, yeah.
So you're two-thirds of the way there.
Right.
I'd like her to try doggy style and all that, but she doesn't really want to, I don't guess, or she's scared to or something.
Really?
She doesn't really want to, it sounds like.
Yeah.
How scary could it be?
Well,
I mean,
I don't know if she's scared or not. It's sort of academic because she doesn't want to. But I guess my question is, you know, when you're having sex, if somebody's sort of losing themselves in the moment and really caught up into it, then you just sort of fluid, you become very fluid. You move around in different positions, mm-hmm. and everything's open.
Right.
If people are real conscious of what they are, what they're doing, and where they are, then the position shift becomes much more awkward and cumbersome. So maybe she's not really into it.
How old is she?
She's 18.
Hmm.
It is. She seemed to be enjoying herself.
Yeah, seems to be. I mean, she gets off all right and all that.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Do what?
Does she get off every time?
Not every time.
All right. No,
most
I believe
of the time, though.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Through intercourse.
Yeah.
All right.
She also told me that her stepdad had molested her.
So I don't know if that's why that would do that. Yes, of course, Steve. That's where the deal is. Give her a break.
You know, I was thinking this, by the way, stepdad had sex with her kind of thing. It's sort of like telling the mechanic, it's like, I'm hearing a little noise come from the engine. And he's like going, well, how many miles you got? 10,000. Change the oil, maintain the car. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andy, ever, do you abuse it? Do you warm up that? Warm it up? Never drive it faster in operating temperatures, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, I unscrewed the oil filler cap and dumped a whole bunch of ball bearings in there.
Watering.
Yeah, and I took a dump through the cap and the valve cover, and then I put a bunch of mixture sand and metal shavings in there.
Good time.
Then an M80, and I put the cap back on.
To the M80s tonight. That's what my mouth feels like.
I think of an M80 went off in my mouth. Oh my god. Yeah. So, the molestation thing, as far as the positions,
big deal.
And some of it may just be directly connected. Like stepdad may have
done a certain amount
of positions. Yeah. And listen, stepdads. You know, I can't say that I condone you having sex with your underage wards, but if you're going to do the missionary, you know what I'm saying, Drew?
If you're going to X one out?
Yeah, then they X that one out. Now you got nothing, but now you're left with, like, wheelbarrow and a reverse cowgirl. You're sitting in the catbird seat. Okay, tell her, Steve, she's got to get some therapy
for this.
She needs
to get some help with that, absolutely.
Connie?
Yeah?
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been dating my boyfriend for about a month and a half, and, well, my friends keep asking me, you know, if we've had oral sex and stuff, and, well, I would say no, we don't, because it's true. And, well, I was just wondering if that was weird or something, because, I don't know, he's never asked me for it or anything.
No, count your blessings. It's fine.
You're 14?
Yeah.
And he's how old?
16.
And who was asking you about it?
My friends.
Your friends. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. Do you want to get more oral sex?
Well, I don't know. I'm curious, but I don't know.
Yeah, just relax. Take your time. No hurry.
Yeah, you're 14. And what's the big curiosity?
Yeah.
Like, I've never blown a guy, and I can tell what, I know about what that would be like.
Yeah.
I think if and when I blow a guy, I'm going to be thinking, yep, that's it. That's exactly what I thought it would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the curiosity part, I guess...
You know, that's BS. That whole thing of curiosity is something that our culture, again, has created about young people. A certain percentage of young people are what are called novelty seekers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not curious. They need thrill. They need novelty.
Right.
And they need to keep pushing the envelope in the sports and the drugs and the sex. And this is that. This is novelty seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And you find alcoholic history in those situations usually.
Mm-hmm. What about the Vicodin and the booze tonight, Drew?
Heavyweight.
Yeah, is that bad for the liver?
Not if you're heavyweight.
Vicodin and the booze?
Not if you're heavyweight.
Not bad for the liver?
Not if you're heavyweight.
Well, Let's face
everyone
it.
Else, bad news. The Tylenol and the alcohol could shut your liver down, absolutely.
Because I'm looking to hop on that Vicodin train with a couple of boozes. Is that...
How much Vicodin are you taking?
I don't know. I can see what I can scrounge up.
Just take one.
One? Mm-hmm. A couple boozes? Be no problem?
No. Yeah.
I'd probably just stick with the booze. I don't drive too fast
afterwards.
No. I'll be sober until the moment I get home. Hmm. Kimberly?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
What's up?
I just had a significant emotional event a couple nights ago with my mother, who had abused me as a child. And
physically abused?
Yes, emotionally mm-hmm. abused, mm-hmm. Anything else. And in my conversation with her, I just called her up and totally not expecting to confront issues like this, but one conversation went to another to where I ended up asking her questions about my past and the abuse, and we talked about it, and the outcome is nothing I never even expected to confront her about this. In fact, I was the only one having a relationship out of my other two siblings here, and I was the most abused by her.
Right. What kind of abuse? Just
emotional, physical?
Physical, emotional abuse.
Okay, can we unfortunately have to go? What can we do to help tonight?
I it's like I confronted the issue, and I got the response that, you know, I guess any response would have been bad, just to know that she didn't think it was, or that what she had done was wrong. And now I had gone through the therapy, and I have those coping tools to through that point, but now
All right, hold on.
Let's see if we can get her back tomorrow night. We just don't have time.
We got to talk to her tomorrow night.
Okay.
But accusing or confronting your abuser
doesn't do crap.
Always leaves you feeling worse. Yeah. Don't know why. Society has you talked into this is going to cure you. No. Never does. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I'm going to go home and hit the bottle.
And the pills.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Pills. No, I'll look for the pills. I don't know if I can find them.
All right.
I want to thank Diamond Limo for bringing Trista in tonight from The Bachelor. Diamond Limo.
Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette. That's right. And from The Bachelor.
That's true.
All right. So, again, props to Diamond Limo for doing that. And thanks to Trista for coming in.
Any guests this week?
And we're going to have the Vandals in on Wednesday night, so we could talk to those guys. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Yeah, I'll marry you, Trista. Don't worry.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.